Welcome to Scale or Fail, and I am so excited that you all are here with me today. We are here to scale your company, and I love to bring on amazing guests that have paved the way before us to make the journey just a little bit easier. And today, we have an incredible business expert. Justin Breen is the founder and CEO of the PR firm BR Epic Communications and the global connectivity platform BR Epic Network. And he is also the author of the number one international best-selling book, Epic Business. We're going to dive into all of this and the power of relationships on Scale or Fail. Justin is also has an incredible global network of visionaries and exceptional businesses. So Justin, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. Here's your awesome book. And it's been great to peruse through that. And, you know, I'm a dad who happens to be an entrepreneur. And I'm scaling experiences in life with my family and scaling network on a global level. And then the byproduct is all this other stuff takes care of itself. But I think it'll be an interesting conversation and take on scaling, what scaling means to me.
Yeah, definitely. Because I know you and I talked a few weeks back, and I love what you're doing with your company and how you're actually running your business. I think this will really be powerful for the listeners. Yep. So I want to get into the power of relationships, because I know your businesses are all built around that. And they say that your network is your net worth. So is this something that you always knew, or is this something that has evolved over time for you?
You know, it's a great question. And I run 6 days a week outside, no matter the weather conditions. So I've done that for 20 years. So I live in the Chicago area. So it was pretty cold today. We're, you know, taping this in February. So it was pretty cold. And I was listening to your interview with Gay Hendricks. It's a really good interview. And, you know, he talks about genius is the most addictive substance on earth. And you open up to more of your genius will be called upon. So one, that was a good interview. Two, I spend 100% of my day either with my family or in my zone of genius. So there's no, I just completely stay in that. And my zone of genius is to be a connecting superhero for every visionary, abundance, investment, mindset, entrepreneur, and share their stories with the world. So that's it. And it's endlessly fun. It's endlessly interesting. It's very lucrative. It's not work at all. I work 0 hours every week. And it's all based on a fundamental purpose of having real relationships with people, regardless of whether it's on Zoom or meeting someone in the metaverse or on LinkedIn that doesn't matter. It's a real relationship. And that's the, you know, that's the foundation for everything else.
Yeah, it's, I love so many things about what you shared: genius, relationships, yeah. Not working, living in your genius all of the time. And Gay Hendricks, the author of the Big Leap, is just one of my favorite human beings. So now tell me, you know, because getting to be in your genius,
yes,
you know, 100% of the time, I think people dream of that. Maybe they're in it just a little bit. Now, there's a difference between doing things that you're good at. We're all good at some things, but your genius is obviously where you thrive, where you're alive, you know, that excites you. So how did you figure that out? I mean, was there a shift that you went through in your career that it was like, oh, you know, relationships are my genius and that's where I need to focus my time?
You know, it's such a good question, because that, you know, in that question, there's the answer. So I was a journalist for 20 years and created my entire business model based on how PR firms annoyed me for 20 years, that my first company. So I actually don't know what PR firms do other than annoy journalists. So I was just annoyed for 20 years. So for the most part, you don't go into journalism for money. You go into that for purpose. And so when starting entrepreneurial path, a little over 5 years ago, after my job salary was cut in half and I couldn't find a job and incorporated with zero business background, zero. I still don't know what an S-corp is. I didn't know you had to pay taxes four times a year. So While I was working full time at half the salary, I reached out to 5,000 people to find my first five clients, and then resigned after I got fifth client. And Robert Feeder, he's the top media columnist in the Midwest, did a story. I'd started my own firm, so that was just to get the company started. But it was always, it was always based on purpose. I mean, the stories my firm does now are about cool people changing the world. And when I was a journalist for 20 years, I'd never understood negative news. I never understood political news, never understood if it bleeds, it leads. I just wrote stories about cool people changing the world. So, there's never been any change in that. What I will say, and your question was so good, is in terms of the relationships I had as a journalist and the relationships I have now, they're different because as a journalist, it's sources or people you interview. And in this world, it's entrepreneurs, it's collaborators, it's people leading huge companies. And it's just a different transition of the type of relationship, but it's the same real relationship.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I like that kind of news that you're talking about way better than what we're hearing today. And funny thing is that I also majored in journalism and it was great. I definitely learned to write, but when I realized I was going to be writing about, bad news most of the time, that just
Right.
was something that I wasn't interested in. So, but I think obviously you've made a great shift in your life. And what do you feel is the biggest mistake, Justin, that business owners make regarding relationships? Because you're really great at fostering those relationships, meeting those people. Where do you think business owners struggle
Such a
around
good
this?
question. So my brain, this is what I've learned throughout this process, is my brain hears blah 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 and simplifies it into patterns. That's just what it does. And in terms of that question, what I've seen is when you start a company, there's four phases. I'll actually be curious to see if there's a fifth phase. I'm 5 years in, so maybe it'll evolve into the fifth phase. So here are the four phases. When you start a company, you get to get. So I reached out to 5,000 people to get my first five clients, strictly getting. That's fine when you start. Actually, a lot of people start, they just stop at that. They stop at get to get. Then there's get to give. You're giving a little bit, but mostly to get. And definitely most people stop at that. Then there's a third step where it's give to get. You're mostly giving, but there's still an underlying desire to get something. 99.9% of people stop at that. Then you get to the level where I'm at, the 0.1% with only people I partner with. It's you give to give, but only to the people who get it. Give to give, but only to the people who get it. So I'm constantly giving with no motive of getting anything in return, but only to the people who understand what I'm talking about. Because if you give to give to people who don't get it, you're damaging yourself, you're damaging the people that you're giving to, and the people who don't get it don't understand anyway. So I think to answer your question, people just stop at they stop at stage one or stage two or stage three. They never even think about stage four.
Yeah, no, it really is such an energetic shift, when you get this. You're so
Exactly.
much happier. You attract wonderful people in your
100%.
life. You make a difference in people's lives. I get that. I think that a lot of times with business owners, now our community in Pinnacle is super generous.
Right.
However, when people don't get this concept, it's like, well, why would I put the time into that when I need to grow my business? Like, or why, I did this for them and they didn't, return the favor. And like you're saying, that you're missing the whole point. When you show up just as a giver, just because,
Yep.
it's so much more fulfilling and the doors open naturally anyway.
100%. Well, and it's a fascinating thing because I've seen this evolve over time. And I've seen it evolve over time because I actually do something. I take action. And the people that are the real successful ones, they actually don't do a lot of talking. They take action and then they learn from those experiences. And I was listening to an interview with Eric Wood, Another, for those who don't know, Buffalo Bills, all pro player, a center for them. And then within 50 minutes, his career was over and then he had a baby. 50 minutes in the same, within the same hour. Career was over as an NFL player and then had his second child, I believe. And that's entrepreneur life. So most people can't handle that. They can't handle that roller coaster.
Yeah.
Most people aren't, they're not born to be the 0.1%. That's fine, by the way. But I'm not a business owner. I'm just an entrepreneur. And I think, again, to answer your question, I think business owners stop at stage one, two, or three. They never graduate to entrepreneur where they're living their life in genius or purpose or give to give to the people who get it. They're worried about bottom line and employee count and all this other stuff. You take a week off a month, at least I think you did, maybe you still do. They're never thinking about they're, that's not so I spend as much time with my family as I want to and build my network on a global level. That's it. All this other stuff takes care of itself.
It really does. It really does. And I think, I think, Justin, I was just thinking about it as you were talking. I think it's really culturally how we're wired, And I know I was raised. My dad was an incredible businessman, super, super innovative and very, very giving. But it was this, I think maybe coming out of the depression, you just have to work hard. You got to work so hard and grind it out. And, and so you have a lot of business owners that are, struggling and exhausted, And so when you can shift into your genius and be able to live there, it truly is life-changing. So for those of you that are listening, I definitely encourage you to explore that. Now I want to talk to you about your business, BR Epic. Can you tell us a little bit about your business journey or your entrepreneurial journey to create this company?
Well, certainly, just so it's understood, and thanks for bringing up your dad. My dad was 61 when I was born. He'd be 106 if he was alive now. And he was a World War II hero, shot down 9 times in combat, many times without a parachute. You get back into the plane. So that's my litmus test. That's my
Wow.
litmus test. And my mom was 27 when I was born, when my dad was in his late 50s, a drunk driver. Hit him head on, drunk driver killed instantly. Dad broke every bone in his body, survived. And then my mom was his nurse. So my mom literally nursed him back to health. So most of my days talking to the world's top entrepreneurs, and I still haven't met anyone in my life with more hustle than my mom ever. I've never. I'm just a byproduct of that. And my wife and I, we met the day before she started medical school. So if there's anything comparable to this world, it's going through medical school. And then our sons are 9 and 7. The 9-year-old is running 22-minute 5Ks and he wants to be an Olympic gold medalist in track. And then the 7-year-old wants to be a general in the army. So that, so like,
Wow.
there's no excuse. That's my litmus test. So it's interesting because you saw your dad and your dad evolved. And I think I'm my parents evolved. And then I've been stabilized in a good way by my wife and then my kids, the same no excuse mindset that I have. Because at the highest level, there are no excuses, only investment. I mean, at the highest level, there's no excuses. And most people make excuses their whole life. I mean,
Yeah.
I just make the investment. At this level, there are no excuses. So when I had job salary cut in half, okay, figure it out. I mean, I had zero business background. I do think it's funny that I haven't learned what an S corp is. I'm actively trying not to learn that because I think it's funny. But no, I mean, you're either born someone like this or you're not. I mean, most people can't do this. I haven't met one entrepreneur at the highest level. Actually, tell me if you have met one, but I haven't met one at the highest level who hasn't overcome at least one of the following four things. Most are two or three, and then I talk to a lot of all fours. So the four things are bankruptcy or potential bankruptcy, two, depression, three, the highest level of anxiety you can imagine, and four, likely and or possible traumatic experiences as a child or young adult. So regular human beings, small business owner, consultant, they will use those as excuses their whole life.
Yeah.
Entrepreneur at the highest level, figure it out. Figure it out.
Yeah. What, right. And so I think too, it's about taking responsibility, right?
100%.
Not taking responsibility. If you had, trauma as a kid, that's happened to you,
That's correct.
but it's taking responsibility of your life now. And what are you going to do moving forward? And, you know, excuses just get old, you know, they really do. And we don't really want that, right? I mean, I think ultimately everybody wants to move forward.
I think you're right. You know, that's an interesting take. I think people want to move forward. I do think that. But at this level, the people that want to do it, as opposed to the ones who are doing it, there's a difference there. And it's the ones who actually will do it. And it's interesting, Scale or Fail is the title. That's an interesting title. But, you know, there's two kinds of failures. There's two kinds. And I actually don't believe in failure. I either, you know, you're either winning or you're learning from it. But to use the word fail, the first kind of failure is the overwhelming majority of society. They're afraid to actually do anything. That's the overwhelming majority. The second kind of failure is you do something and it doesn't work out, but you've learned from it. And that's the ultimate success I've found. Every great thing in my life has happened from a catastrophic, I mean, not necessarily catastrophic, but a really difficult situation, from breakups with former girlfriends to meeting my wife to having job salary cut in half. Now I run two global companies that only partner with top visionaries on the planet, to making more money than I ever thought possible in 1 year and never been being more upset with my life. Like, so it's all been learning and greatness from all those very difficult situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely on the other side of challenge is your pot of gold. And so I do believe that when challenge arises, we have a choice, you know, are we going to drown in it and allow it to be bigger than us? Or are we going to say, okay, what can we do about it? How do we shift into being that detective and figuring out a solution? Because there always is a way. There is always a way. Now let's talk about how you help companies with PR. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah.
Because PR is a bit of an enigma, I would say.
I don't understand it. I've never, I don't. So at the highest level, there's no competition, only collaboration. So most people think of PR as a very competitive space. I haven't done outbound anything in years because I just create value for people who get it. And then they create, I mean, it solves all of that. But so the formula, and you talked about solutions, you just talked about it. The formula for creating a successful global company is very simple. It's surprisingly simple, but my brain turns all this complexity into patterns and I see it. So you see a problem, create solution, problem solved, successful global company. Okay, so I was a journalist for 20 years, created my entire business model based on how PR firms annoyed me for 20 years. Saw a problem, created a solution, problem solved, successful global company. And my company's entire solution, the entire process is on the website. There's no tricks, there's no gimmicks. It's like, here's what it does. I was annoyed for 20 years receiving useless press releases hundreds of times a day from people I didn't know. So my firm creates actual newsworthy stories. It becomes a link on the client's website under news or blog. So it looked like a story you see in the LA Times or whatever. That doesn't matter. And then take that link, pitch it to media, and then it's immediate intro, and problem solved. So clients around the world, all verticals except for politics, because it's the opposite of visionary abundance investment mindset, and companies from solopreneur to companies as big as Allstate. That doesn't matter because it just solves the problem.
Wow. So you really have it streamlined. So this is sent out to a lot of the major media outlets, magazines, radio, television.
So that's a good question. That's a good question. Yes, it is. But this is another example of it. Podcasts like these are actually replacing mainstream media for people like us in terms of relevance and importance for three reasons. Why? Because I turn everything into patterns. So one, the host is an entrepreneur, not a journalist. You never understood negative news. Got to get out of that. So they're coming from a place of abundance, not scarcity. Okay. Mm-hmm. Two, you can do a deep dive on someone 30, 35 minutes, an hour. So it's not a drive-by interview on TV and radio. And then three, the audience might not be as large quantity-wise, but it's a far more qualified audience. So regular humans probably not going to listen to this, but top entrepreneur on the planet. So podcasts are just a transactional and transformational platform for entrepreneurs. That's literally all they are.
Yeah, I do get that. And I used to own a PR firm a gazillion years ago. And, you know, it's just interesting with the podcasts, because with television, although, you know, you can take that clip and you can put it on social media and all of that, but there's a, you know, highly likely that your demographic is not going to be watching that clip or listening to that radio station in your city. But a podcast can live on forever, and you have a good deal of time to actually dive into the topic. I have been on television a number of times where it's like, you know, you have to talk really fast and in sound bites and get your point across and, you know, all of that, but gives us a little bit more leeway. And so let's talk about Epic Business, because that's the name of your book. Yeah. And I'm excited to read your book. And but tell me, what is the definition of an epic business to you?
Yeah, that's interesting. My second book's Epic Life. That's coming out soon. And then Peter Diamandis wrote the foreword for that. And then Chris Voss, who wrote Never Split the Difference, did the foreword for First Company, or for First Book, I should say. Very thankful for that. But to really simplify it, most people, they can't fathom being someone like Bill Gates or, you know, Bezos or some, and I can't either. I'm not that person. But they can picture being someone like me, where you see your family as much as you want to, you make as much money as you want to, you focus on one type of person with one or two types of things. And so it's 30 steps of how I did that with zero business background. And, you know, before COVID, I saw my wife and children before any data I know, and then now I just see more of them. And so that's really what it is. I mean, the new book is how I started a second company with a partner I've only met one time in person, where we've created LinkedIn without the BS. So high price point, invite only connectivity platform. So the new book is like how that's done in the COVID Zoom era, just collaborating. It's just, I mean, you're just full collaborator. I mean, that's what I am. I'm just a full collaborator.
You know what? It is the most fun that I do. I mean, let me just retract. I love working with my clients, so don't get me wrong there. We have an amazing community, but it's all centered around relationships. Really, when you think about it, everything you do, you know, whether it's my team, which I love spending time with, but really kind of designing your life ahead. Who would you like to meet? I mean, if you really think about that, who would you really love to meet and have a conversation with or learn from, and then make that happen? I've had so many times, Justin, where I'm sitting talking to someone and I'm thinking, wow, this is somebody that I had set the intention that I wanted to meet, you know, and really focused on that and just knew that it would happen at some point. And then boom, there you are. It's a pretty...
It's amazing. That's the greatest thing ever. Like, so that's okay. So one, I'm very grateful that you said that. And, you know, a little over 5 years ago, February 10th, 2017, I had my job salary cut in half. Okay. No business background. Now I'm talking, most of my day is talking to people like you. I never get tired of it. As a journalist, most of my day was talking to people like you. So nothing's, you know, it's endlessly fascinating to me because people like you are, you know, the ideator futurists who build these massive companies. And it's incredible. I mean, your brains are amazing. And then my brain hears blah, 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 immediately simplify and immediate intro, immediately simplify, immediate intro. And it's unbelievable to be, I guess I'm kind of a person like you now, which is, I mean, it's amazing to me. And then connecting with people like you constantly over and over. But again, it goes back to just being in my zone of genius constantly. And it's always fun. It's super interesting because people like you are the ones that change the world, not there, the world. It's a fundamental difference. Mm-hmm. And then my brain simplifies and shares stories with the world, not their world, the world. And it's very exciting to be in this space. Like you're up on the trapeze, right? You're on the trapeze kind of floating around full concentration. That's kind of how I am all the time. I'm just floating around flying this plane and then just connecting with all these amazing people. And it's just the coolest thing to actually do it. And then again, it goes back to you have to take action. Talk is meaningless without doing it. It's meaningless.
Right. So, but I think people are intimidated sometimes. And I know I have been too, you know, to reach out to someone And you know, have those thoughts, oh, you know, they may not want to talk to me, or you know, what value would I bring to the table, kind of thing, right? And so what would you say to someone that is like, well, I love what Justin's saying, I totally want to expand my world of relationships, yes, but I feel a little intimidated.
Okay, so great. That's great questions, and it's a two-part answer, a two-part. So one of the chapters in my first book is when you start a company, it takes 2 full years to figure things out. Okay, so knock on wood, my first company has always been incredibly profitable. Revenue is meaningless to me. Profit is all that. Revenue is a term driven by, I don't even know what it's driven by, but profit. So it's always been profitable. And I'm very thankful for that, but it took 2 full years to figure it out. It wasn't 2 weeks, it wasn't 2 months, it wasn't 6 months, a year. It really takes 2 full years. And then when I started my first company, the first group, I guess, networking group, I guess you, if you want to call it that, it was $250 a year. Then I joined a 500, then I joined a 2000, then I joined a 5000, then I joined a 10,000. And now I'm in two that are 25,000 plus each. Okay. So, okay. But I didn't start at 25,000 plus each. I started at 250, but the 250 or the 25,000 always has been an investment, never a cost. None of this has ever been a cost, and I've always invested in myself. It's, and the key word is investment, not cost. It's an investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is so true. Absolutely, and it always takes you to the next level. It Correct. Always takes you next level. A cost is something that you don't get a return on, but relationships will continue to give you a return day after day after day. Has there been anybody in particular, Justin, that has been a significant influence on you personally, professionally?
Well, two people, you know, certainly my dad. He died when I was 13, and he kept a diary of his experiences fighting the Battle of the Hurricane Forest, a very deadly battle toward the end of World War II. And I found that diary after he died. And I write exactly like he does, boom, 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 just no fluff or nonsense, just inform and entertain. And that's been a good guide. It's been a good guide for me. When he was alive in my younger years, he would always say, the cream rises to the top, the cream rises. So he'd always say that. And so I only partner with the cream that rises to the top, or the people that will do whatever it takes. No excuses. Get back in the plane without a parachute. So that's been it's been an interesting journey to have someone like that as my dad, and then have that diary and, you know, that in my head. So that's one. And then the other person, I mean, there's thousands of them, but Dan Sullivan, he's the co-founder of Strategic Coach. I'm very mm-hmm. confident saying Dan's the, you know, probably the top entrepreneurial coach who's ever lived. He's, you know, coached tens of thousands of the top entrepreneurs on the planet. And he's in his 70s now. He plans to live to 156. And, you know, 99% of the way I live my life is what I've learned in Strategic Coach over the last couple years. I mean, it's just the greatest group of people, total abundance thinkers, true entrepreneurs, changing the world.
Yeah, I love Dan Sullivan. He is absolutely brilliant. And the story with your dad as well. I mean, obviously you get, you know, a lot from your dad. It's very apparent. And so, you know, when you and I talked recently, you did say you don't work in the day-to-day of your business, that you know, everything is taken care of by your team and in the scale it method, which I talk about in my book, Scale or Fail, and what we work with our clients on, it's all about working on the business instead of in the business.
Yes.
Can you tell me, like, how did you set your business up that way?
That's such a good question. So in terms of PR firm, there's several freelance writers who do the stories, and then, you know, finance person, website person, all that stuff. Calendly's been a big thing. I mean, but like, that stuff's so easy for me. I don't like doing it. I don't love doing it. It's beyond love. So it's super easy for me. It's not work. But with new company, which again is LinkedIn without the BS, I can barely tie my shoes. You and I are both very low implementers. You know, that would be a bad idea. So my partner, who's based in San Francisco, I'm in Chicago. We've met one time in person at a launch party for the new company. I'm very thankful for that. But other than that, we've only met on Zoom or on the phone. in more than a year. He's a full backstage visionary. So he found the team to build the platform. He does all the onboarding of new people. If I tried doing any of that, I'd electrocute myself. So all I do is talk about the company, and then I write books about it, and I'm in media interviews all the time. And that's easy for me. It's fun. I love doing it. And then my partner's name is Mark Fujiwara. He does all the backstage stuff. And he loves it, by the way. He loves it. Mm-hmm. Never gets tired of it.
Yeah, I think that's just, you know, teaming up with people that are strong in your weaknesses so that you can focus on your strengths. I think in the earlier days of business, I thought I needed to find people like me. And I realized, you know, that was pretty disastrous after a while if I wanted to actually get anything done so that I could stay in that real visionary role.
Yes.
That I needed people around that were also visionary, but more around the implementation.
Follow through people for sure. Yeah. You need,
yeah.
You know, without doing too big of a deep dive on this, but like, Kolbe, KOLBE, it's not the cheese, but, if you want to put it in the show notes or whatever, I strongly recommend people take that. It's $55. I think it takes 20 minutes, but, most of the true visionaries out there, most of them have your score, which is like a 3.292. So that's very high, quick start, boom, 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 and almost no follow through. So if you don't hire a bunch of people, it's not going to get done. It's not. So I'm the very, 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 it's a unicorn score. I'm 8.671. So I have high, quick start, boom, 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 and high follow through. So I just say it, do it, say it, do it. It just gets done. It doesn't get forgotten. It doesn't get handed off to 20 people. It's just very rare. But I have found it's really interesting. In 5 years of the folks who I know their Kolbe scores, because that's the only thing I write down before I meet someone is their name and Kolbe score if they know it. I've partnered with only one person less than a 7 quick start. Only one. I found that's the dividing line between people that will take action and those that, you know, that talk but don't actually do anything. Now, I'll be very curious to see if that changes 5 years from now, if the lower quick starts do something 5 years from now. But 5 years in, only one under a 7 quick start.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, we use Kolbe within our company. We use we also mentor teams and we use Kolbe. Mm-hmm. We have a couple certified Kolbe strategists on our team as well. So it is really revealing. And in one of the teams we were working with, based on those assessments, we actually move people around on the org chart.
Smart.
To different positions. You know, it's really interesting. Now, you know, we're recording this in February, depending on where it is when it is that you all are listening to this recording, but we're looking at, you know, a good portion of the year ahead. What are you most excited about, Justin, in creating and evolving in this year?
I love that question because, you know, I know where I come from at a very high level because of my parents and, you know, my dad would be 106 now if he was alive. So I really should be in my like, you know, early 80s, late 70s. So I'm like an old soul with a 44-year-old body at the time of this recording. and maybe the childish mindset of a 4-year-old. I actually think I'm regressing mindset-wise in terms of childishness. So my sons are 9 and 7, and then I'm I'm more immature than they are. And my wife is a pediatrician. Thank God, because she has 3 sons, my sons and me. She always says that, but I say that because I know where I come from. That allows me to know where I am right now, and then more importantly, to answer your question, I know where I'm going, and I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited because I know the new book. Again, to have someone like Peter Diamandis, you know, write the foreword for that. I'm in his group called Abundance 360 as well. And to have this new company, we're starting to get a bunch of revenue for it now. And I'm really just I'm very thankful for that because the new company, it's just technology for my brain. It's just technology for the purpose of my life. And it'll just 100x what I'm already doing. And it'll just keep growing from there. It's just a giant collaborative platform that will create endless collaborations. So I'm really very thankful. I mean, I have a very strange brain that's capable of doing this, and then I take action to do it, and then I'll take action and learn from whatever happens. So I'm very thankful to have this brain, very thankful.
Well, it's very exciting that you have this new book coming out. And Peter, I am a major Peter Diamandis fan. He actually spoke at my event probably about 5 years ago. And he, oh, like you could hear a pin drop. He was so incredibly powerful. And his story, just his whole story on, what he went through.
Did he talk about how he got his MD? Did he talk about
I'm trying to remember if he did.
that?
I know a little bit of that story, and it's yeah, I mean, he even has a little documentary out. You can watch it, but it's just
Right.
so fascinating because he struggled so much. He really did in staying true to his dreams, and
Well,
he
so my
did.
wife's a pediatrician who's a pediatrician. She's not an entrepreneur at all, which is
Okay.
perfectly fine. Peter, Dr. Peter, he's an entrepreneur who happens to be in medicine. So, he
Yes.
made a deal with his professor saying, "Hey, I'll graduate you if you've never practiced
Oh,
medicine."
that's right. You did say that. I forgot about that.
Right.
That's
So
hilarious.
that's most of the people I talk to. They're floating around up here living in future idea land, but then they'll do something about it now. They'll actually activate it. They'll actually take action. And people like, Peter, people like you're the ones who change the world. I mean, you'll do it. And then my brain can simplify that message and share it with the world. And then again, it's really fascinating to I've kind of become one of you, a person like you. And I'm just like, I pinch myself every day about that. And I get to see my family whenever I want to, which is most important.
That's really a blessing. Justin, thank you so much for being on the show today. And how can people find you or learn more about your business? What's the best way for them to connect?
Sure. Normally I don't mention this, but I will because there's a reason. But the company's website is brepicllc.com, BREPICLLC.com. And the only reason I mention that is because there's a mindset survey. It takes 5 minutes. People love taking it. And people actually, it's very revealing because they don't game it and they realize, oh, here's where my mindset is now. Here's where I'd like it to be. So it's a
Wow.
really great survey. Yeah.
Awesome. I'll have to get on there and do that myself.
Oh,
So
you're gonna score all 12s on that. Right.
well, I don't know about that, but it's a work in progress for sure.
Good.
So anyway, thanks so much, Justin. And for those of you listening, if you enjoyed the show, please write a review. We would appreciate that. Of course, subscribe. And until next time, get out there and elevate yourself because you are worth it. Bye, everybody. So, if you are truly ready to be able to work on the business instead of in the business, it means that you want to scale your company. And so, if you would like to get support, then reach out to us on our website, pinnacleglobalnetwork.com. And learn all about us and how we mentor high-level CEOs to grow and scale, to create companies that make a difference and change the world, and also give you the life that you truly, truly deserve.